I think many of us go through an idealistic phase when we're teenagers and adults. We look around at all the suffering and misery and craziness in our world and think, I want to make the world a better place. At least any of us who has a heart has thought that. But then our dreams of a better tomorrow often get derailed by life. And we look back at those days and smile with nostalgia and a little guilt and just go back to living as we have been accustomed to live. So why is it that so many of us wake up one day with the thought, I haven't done anything, or at least much, to change the world? Well, many of us work as hard as we can to find worldly solutions in politics, economics, or urban architecture. And then inevitably, those things delude and elude us. But if we are made for goodness, truth, and beauty, shouldn't we seek the solutions in those things for which we are made? And if goodness, truth, and beauty exist first of all and infinitely in God, it is in Him that we find the beginning, the means, and the end of our personal fulfillment and in making the world a better place. In doing so, we build the kingdom of God here on earth and anticipate right here and now the glories of heaven. As Catholics, we know all that. But we also live in the world, don't we? We may be called to build the city of God, but we are far too conscious that we live in the city of man. And we're acutely aware of the fact that in this city of man, there's a lot of people who are convinced that the world would be a better place if the Catholic Church did not exist. And this may surprise you, but I can see why some of them think that. We're called to be holy. And when any single one of us does not measure up to that, the accuser, the prince of darkness, and the father of lies judges us before the world. So often we don't live up to the standard of the gospel. And that is the reason why people think that we shouldn't be around at all. And we see this and we get scared. We try to blend into the city of man as much as possible, not stand out. We pursue a policy of accommodation with the world and end up not looking any different than anyone else. And the world, this valley of tears, remains exactly the same. But we still hold on to something from our faith, and we still try to do some good. As Catholics, we're oriented towards community, and we build up networks and institutions to do good. And all that is fine, but sometimes we can get into a dead end where we're forced between two options, mission and maintenance. As Catholics, do we build up institutions to try to do good in this world and then struggle to maintain them as best as we can? Or do we give ourselves over to the mission that God has given us? The Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Are we all about serving the works of God or serving God? There's a difference. A lot of people got very angry when Cardinal Ratzinger wrote in the 1960s, "The church of the future will be a smaller, purer church." When he became Pope Benedict XVI in 2005, The media tried to use that quote to make it seem like he wanted a church only for the perfect. Everyone who towed the line on faith and morals in a rigid, Pharisaical way. But in reality, Benedict was a prophet. The Pope Emeritus is a great scholar of St. Augustine, who first described the struggle between the city of God and the city of man, and applied that intuition so that we could understand more clearly that the church is not just another institution of convention, custom, and tradition. The church is the mystical body of Christ, the kingdom of God on earth, and as such, we are called to be Christians of conviction, called to continual conversion. Pope Francis, like his predecessor, has been misinterpreted by the media as being the anti-Benedict. Okay, they always want to say that the two are always in contrast to each other. But what Francis is showing us in so many ways is that mission has priority over maintenance. What we do as the church is proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, has triumphed over death, and wants to give us eternal life. All of the doctrinal teaching of the church on faith and morals, it's all a commentary on that central message of the gospel. So are we called to maintain all of these things that we have built as Catholics? Or are we called to mission? Now, you know that here at Prince of Peace, I've mightily resisted the concept of a church as a filling station where you come to get something you want, right? Of a parish which is a place of retreat from the world where we engage in an endless number of groups and ministries and activities on 1209 Brushy Creek Road. Okay. Well, why? Why am I so insistent on this point? Because that's not what Jesus asked us to do. A parish is meant to be the training ground for soldiers of Christ who then go out into the world to do battle for Christ. Not with the weapons of hatred, division, and worldly tactics, but the much more powerful weapons of love, unity, and communion in a family of saints. The parish church is where we encounter Christ in worship, where we sit at the feet of the Master and learn from Him, and then not stay around navel-gazing, but going out into our mission field of the world. There are Catholics who think that priests are religious or some kind of spiritual professionals who they're the ones who do the job of evangelization and mission. But every baptized Christian, man, woman, and child, is called to evangelization and mission. The province of the laity is to transform the world with truth, goodness, and beauty. The role of the priest is to be a steward of the mysteries of God, to preach and teach the gospel and lead the people of God in worshiping the Lord of glory in spirit and in truth. Matthew Kelly, in his book that as a parish family we've been reading over the past few weeks, points out that 89% of those he was able to identify as dynamic Catholics had all at one time or another had a personal experience of conversion to Christ. Some event in their life that caused them to be more engaged with Christ and His church. But he also noticed that of all of the four signs of a dynamic Catholic, prayer, study, generosity, and evangelization, this last one was the weakest in the chain. Why? Well, People who want to be the best version of themselves they can be, they don't fail because they want to fail. They fail because they don't necessarily know how to succeed. Like with prayer, study, and generosity, we cannot be successful with evangelization just by merely wishing it, okay? Or saying, well, you know, I really wish there was someone who would go out there and, you know, get more disciples for Jesus. Well, that's your job. That's you. Don't wait for someone else to do it. We have to be intentional about it. And that means not just the priest, not just the parish staff. Every single one of you in this church tonight is a missionary. You've been baptized into the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus and sent out to the world on mission for Him. Well, how do we do that? Well, first of all, we have to build up a personal relationship with Christ through frequent confession, devout reception of the Most Holy Eucharist, private prayer, study, and performing the works of mercy. Second, we have to realize that each one of us is called to mission and not just maintenance. Third, each one of us has to come up with a plan of what we can do to build the kingdom of God on earth. The Jesuits used to say of their educational model, if you get the man right, you get the world right. There really is something to that, isn't there? There's a reason why, as Catholics, our principal apostolates are education and the poor. But to get to the man, okay, you can't just preach at him. Okay? You can't just kind of, you know, do drive-by scripture shouting, okay, at people and expect that to convert them to Jesus. That's not how it happens. To get to the man, you have to build up a relationship with him. And in true friendship, share what Christ has done for you. And then bringing him to Christ and his church, help him build up those disciplines which will make him a dynamic Christian as well. And then Christ will send him forth just as he sent you forth. You know, most of us are not going to be sent on some foreign mission adventure to a remote corner of the world. I'm always reminded of that beautiful episode in the life of St. Philip Neri, who had been living as a layman in Rome for many years, and he goes to the great St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits, who sent missionaries literally to the weirdest corners of the planet, right? And Philip wanted to join him, and he wanted to go to some, you know, far-flung place in the middle of nowhere to be a missionary for Christ. So he goes to St. Ignatius and says, I want to go to India, okay? At that time, that was like the farthest place anybody could think of, right? I want to go to India. And St. Ignatius looked at St. Philip Neri and says, Philip, Rome is your India. For us, where we live right here in the Greenville area, that is our India. That is our mission field. We're called to be Christ right where we are. Our mission field is not a jungle in Africa, an igloo in Greenland, or a slum in Brazil. It's in our families, in our workplaces. It's wherever we live our lives. All of us are sinners redeemed by grace and called to be loved in the midst of the world. It matters less how you evangelize than that you evangelize. As St. Francis de Sales said, be yourself and be that well. Always seek the face of Christ and share what that journey means to you with everyone you meet, no matter where they are. And then you will be the most dynamic of Catholics and blessed beyond measure.